Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace, from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, let us then begin to continue this morning worship service with the singing out of Psalter 268, stanzas 1 through 3. All people that on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with cheerful voice. Him serve with mirth, his praise forth tell. Come ye before him and rejoice. We mention 268, stanzas 1 through 3. Scripture reading you can find are the Acts of the Apostles of God's Holy Word, there of chapter 16. It's the first 15 verses, Acts 16, verse 1 through 15, but first let us listen to the holy law of God. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We mention Acts 16, beginning at the first verse. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed. But his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered unto him the decrees for to keep, that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith, and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia in the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go unto Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, Come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately was endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called for us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the woman that resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized, and her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Thus far the reading of God's word.
Congregation, let us ask for the Lord's blessing and presence among us. Let us pray together. Almighty, eternal, merciful and gracious Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, on this beautiful day, the first day of the week, we may again in thy long-suffering patience and mercy be enabled to enter into thy house, to come into this place of worship, to hear what thou hast to say unto us. And we have heard already from thy word, law, and gospel. And Lord, as we have gathered together, may we beg and ask thee that thou would also come, that thou would dwell among us. May we plead upon thy promise, as thou hast said, where two or three are gathered together in thy name, that thou wilt be in the midst. Lord, come then. Work mightily, irresistibly, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, may it have been already in hearing of the law that sinners were convicted and convinced of their sins, that sinners become guilty sinners, lost sinners, wretched sinners, sinners worthy of eternal wrath. But Lord, may it also be that the gospel may be that balm in Gilead. Oh, may there be by that work of the Holy Spirit those that are hungry and thirsty for thee, the living God, that there are those who came also this morning, that there is a longing, that there is a longing that thou would visit them, speak to them, that thou would instruct them, and that thou would comfort them. Oh, thou knowest those poor and needy sinners, laden with guilt and sin, and have no way to find relief to be delivered. Oh, they have sought many ways, but may have all come to a dead end. Oh, may their hearts be opened this morning to the precious gospel. Lord, by nature, our hearts are closed. It's all enmity. It's all resistance for thee, for thy law, for thy word, for thy will, for the gospel, and for thy Son. But Lord, thou hast that power, that irresistibly power to open hearts. Thou wilt have a people who will become willing in the day of thy power. Oh, may it be so also here in Cortland today, by the work, the irresistible work of the Holy Spirit. Not only sinners become guilty, but oh, may it also be by the blessing of the preaching of the gospel, by the application, that hearts are opened, that there may be a little crumb from above, a crumb of mercy, a crumb of love from the Almighty God for poor, needy, guilty, wretched, lost sinners. Oh, wilt thou give a little water for the thirsty? And Lord, we confess by nature there's no need, no desire, no urgency, no hunger, no thirst. It's all death. Maybe we could be very religious, coming to worship in an outward way, and yet lost. Our hearts are still closed. O Lord, wilt thou then come and open hearts for thyself, for thy word, for law, for gospel, and that there may be that true blessings from above. Lord, unto whom else can we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. Oh, may we together then lift our voice unto thee, our eyes unto thee, that almighty, faithful, covenant-keeping Jehovah, who has chosen a people, who will seek them, who will save them, who will guide them, lead them, who will teach them, who will empty them of everything of self to fill them with thyself. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that grace that thou revealest unto the saints, reveal it unto us and to our children. Oh, prepare us for that moment that we must leave this life and stand before thee, our Creator, that Almighty God, who knows and hears every word, every thought, who knows each and every one of our hearts. It's all open before thee. We cannot hide from thee. We cannot hide one sin. It's all known, and they all need to be blotted out. Oh, teach us, Lord, that thou wilt by no means clear the guilty, and we are guilty. And wilt thou reveal unto us and show us that one who is pure, who is holy, of whom thou couldst say from above, looking upon him, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And he willingly, he who knew no sin, was made sin. Oh, wilt thou show us the wonders of thy grace? Open our blind eyes to see ourselves. Open our eyes to see him and reveal him unto us through the word, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Enlighten sinful, darkened minds to the truths of thy word, and give hearts. Take away hearts of stone. Give hearts of flesh. Lord, we beg thee. We have nothing in self to plead upon. We can only confess our sinfulness, our unwillingness, our hard-heartedness, our deadness, our wretchedness, our sinfulness against thee in our whole being, in our thoughts, our words, our deeds, our affections. It's all polluted. But may we beg thee, Lord, as thou hast said in thy word, I do it not for thy name's sake, but for my name's sake. Lord, for thy name's sake, work mightily, irresistibly. Salvation is of God, of a triune God, complete salvation for complete lost sinners. Lord, remember then the whole congregation, those who are yet dead in sins and trespasses. Oh, may it be the time of thy sovereign good pleasure that thou would pass them by, that thou would give them life, that thou would open their hearts, that by thy grace they may be born again and come and bring forth those fruits of true repentance and true saving faith. Remember all thy people, all the little lambs, all thy sheep, all those who have been renewed by thy grace. Oh, wilt thou care for them? Thou knowest the needs in their hearts, in their lives. Bless thy word to those who need instruction. Give comfort to those who need comfort. Give also admonition, correction to those who are going astray. Oh, wilt thou through the preaching also edify? May thy people grow in the grace and the knowledge of that precious Savior, thy dear Son. Lord, do it all for thy name's sake. There is no reason in us. Lord, we ask that thou would remember all the mourning ones, widows, widowers, those who have lost a child, a sibling, a father or a mother, other relatives, a friend, a classmate. Lord, thou art the God of all comfort. Oh, wilt thou give that comfort in life and in death? Remember all the sick and afflicted. Oh, there are so many consequences of sin. We have left thee, the fountain of overflowing good, and we have plunged ourselves willingly into misery, separated from thee, and we experience, all of us, different consequences of sin. Remember those who are seriously sick and ill, and those who receive treatments. Oh, wilt thou bless it? Remember especially in a way Mr. Jeff Veldesgraf. Lord, bless the treatments for his body. Remember relatives also, Luciana, Mr. Carl Van Brugge, and others. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, bless the means that they may use. And we ask and plead, Lord, sanctify the callings. And may we acknowledge thee that thou hast also spared life Mr. John Schulten, who also had surgery and could return home, and in thankfulness can be improving. Oh, sanctify all these callings to each of their hearts and to our hearts. Lord, thou art speaking that we must make haste for our life's sake, that we must be prepared to meet thee. Lord, prepare. prepare us. We beg and ask thee that thou would remember them also, that family, Katharinas and Ria Hoflagen, who were gladdened with the birth of a healthy baby girl. Lord, thou hast given life and spared life. Give broken and thankful hearts, and may this little girl have been born to be born again. We pray and ask thee, Lord, to remember those who desire to have children and to hear this notice, and thou knowest the pain. O Lord, thou art the Almighty God. Nothing is impossible with thee. O wilt thou then give also, that they may be given to also receive children, if it is in thy will. Remember all single ones, all lonely ones. Care for them. We pray and ask thee that thou would remember the children, that when they listen, that they may hear, that they may understand, and that the truths may go into their heart. Remember teenagers. O, wilt thou capture their hearts by thy grace, that they have no longing to serve the world, but to serve thee. Remember older ones, adults, parents, seniors, how we can be so busy in this life. O, wilt thou give yet time, an urgency and a need to seek thee. O, wilt thou give a blessing today in thy house. Take away all the hindrances. Take away all the distractions in listening and in preaching. Lord, we beg and ask thee to bless thy word throughout the entire world, that thy kingdom may come among Jew and Gentile. Lord, remember thy covenant people. O, wilt thou work mightily, irresistibly among them also, and bless the gospel to their souls, all that they may come to know that only name, that precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. And they will learn then their name, sinner, and that they need a Savior. Lord, bless thy word also throughout the nations, and also in Bolivia. Help thy servants there, the elders, deacons, the church workers, and their family. Remember the church in Loma Alta, in Santa Cruz, the posts in Luján, and in Tarija. Remember those also today who hope to make public confession of faith in Tarija. Lord, give them grace that it may not only be with their mouth, but also with their heart. Help thy servant, Pastor Marco, in leading the services there, and richly bless thy word in Bolivia, that many would be born again and come to know that only name, that precious name, whereby we must be saved. But also for us, Lord, we all have the same name. We all have the same need. We need thy grace. Oh, work among us, Lord. Have mercy. Remember all thy servants also in North America and also in our denomination. Oh, give that we may preach thy word in truth, according to the meaning of the Spirit, not fearing men, not desiring the favor of men, but that we may speak, thus saith the Lord, that we may explain the scriptures unto the meaning of the Spirit, death in Adam and life in Christ, and how the Spirit works in the hearts of sinners, that experiential knowledge of misery, deliverance, and gratitude. And so, Lord, we lay all these needs before thee. Have mercy upon us. Give much prayer. Give opening. Give the unction of the Holy Spirit. Glorify thy name. May thy kingdom come. Lord, forgive us all our many sins. Oh, cleanse it all away, and that all atoning blood, and visit us, and may we hear thy voice. May there be a little token from above for poor needy sinners, we ask, in that only name, that precious name, the name of thy dear Son, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Congregation, let us continue now with singing from Psalter 49, all three stanzas. The ends of all the earth shall hear and turn unto the Lord in fear. All kindreds of the earth shall own and worship him as God alone. And what follows, Psalter 49, all three stanzas. And the collections for today is the first for the church and the second for the Terra Home. May the Lord bless you and your gifts.
Thank you.
Dear congregation, the Lord Jesus Christ said in Mark 16, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. How will he build? How will he gather and build his church? How will he gather his sheep? Well, by the preaching of the gospel with the application of the Holy Spirit. So why did God send his messengers to preach the gospel? The gospel also to you. Have you ever thought about this? That you, in God's providence, may be under the administration of the covenant of grace, you may hear the gospel preached to you. We read in the Canons of Dort, the first head, Article 3, listen, and that men, or we could say women, boys and girls, children, may be brought to believe, God mercifully sends the messengers of the most joyous tidings to whom he will, and what time he pleases, by whose ministry men are called to repentance and faith in Christ crucified. So it's God's mercy. And what's the purpose? Why does he send messengers to preach the gospel? So that sinners would be brought to believe. So in God's providence, the gospel was also brought to Philippi, as we read in Acts chapter 16. And Paul, we see in this chapter, he desired to go to different countries, but the Holy Spirit guided him. We read in verse 6 in the chapter that Paul desired to go to Asia, but was forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. And then Paul also desired to go to Bithynia, but then we read in verse 7, but the Spirit suffered him not. So the Lord closed certain doors. Paul had a desire to go to different countries, but it was closed. And in the closing of some doors, another door was opened, an open door to go to Macedonia. How did the Lord do this? The Lord sent and gave him a vision, as we read in verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. So Paul, after receiving this direction from the Almighty God in this vision, he immediately obeyed, understanding that the Lord was guiding him, closing some doors and opening one to go to Macedonia. And he went there knowing he must preach the gospel, as we read in verse 10. So Paul traveled, and he came to a city, a Roman colony called Philippi, and he was there for certain days, as we read in verse 13. So we see the Almighty God, he guides and directs his servants, and in his sovereign mercy and grace, he leads them to preach the gospel in certain areas, in certain cities. But not only to a certain city in this chapter, exactly to a certain spot. To a spot where there was a woman, where there were women gathered to pray, and he was brought to the exact spot by the river where women were gathered to pray. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Why to this spot? Well, there was a lost sinner there who needed to hear the precious gospel. There was a sinner, a woman in the group of these women that was chosen from eternity and was given by the Father to his Son. And she needed to hear the precious gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to fulfill the law also for this transgressor. The Lord Jesus Christ came into the world also with his sacrifice for this wretched, guilty sinner. And now was the time of the Almighty Sovereign God, his good pleasure, that one of these women would be delivered from the bonds of Satan, would be saved, What amazing grace. What amazing providential ways how the Lord guides by His Spirit to bring His Word, the gospel, to a sinner or to sinners. I will build my church. And now congregation, all who are gathered here this morning, who are listening along, God also brought the gospel to Cortland. Have you ever thought of this? I know people in Taria are so amazed, heartbroken, that of all of the whole entire world, this little tiny town Taria, that they received the preaching of the gospel. They saw it so amazing. Why us? Has it ever touched you? Has it ever broken your heart that in God's providence you may hear the gospel, the preaching of the gospel, law and gospel, but also the gospel? Have you seen it as God's mercy, God goodness, to such an absolute unworthy sinner that you're not born somewhere where you never hear the gospel or you hear just absolutely wrong teachings, darkness? Open your Bible, please, to 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. Because we don't only need to hear the word, but the word of God needs to be effectual. Paul preached the gospel to many Jews and Greeks. Before we read that verse, first we'll read 1 Corinthians 1, verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. So they heard. They heard the gospel, Jews and Greeks. Foolishness and a stumbling block. So they heard it. But that's not enough. It's a great blessing. It's more is needed. More is needed. The word needs to be worked effectually, irresistibly into the heart by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we read in 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So hearing the word, hearing the gospel, is a great blessing. But we need that word worked in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because by nature, our hearts are closed. Closed for God, closed for the Savior, closed for the gospel. It's all unbelief, it's all enmity. In a very religious way or in a very worldly way, we need our hearts opened that are absolutely sealed shut, barred shut against God, His Son, and the gospel. And there's only one who has the power to break those hearts, to open those hearts, to take all the resistance away, and that is the Almighty God, so that they don't only hear, but they also are brought to life, brought to repentance, but also true saving faith. They believe in the gospel, that the outward call would go inward by the power of the Holy Spirit, that the preaching of the gospel would be effectual. This is the reality that we see in the life of Lydia. And this is what you need, my friend. You need not only to hear the gospel, you need to hear it with spiritual ears, that it goes into your heart, that your heart's opened. And so, with the Lord's help, we will consider what we read in Acts 16, verse 14. Acts 16, verse 14. Where we read in the word of God, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. So far from God's precious word. So two thoughts. First, a theme, sorry. God's sovereign grace in the heart of a sinner. God's sovereign grace in the heart of a sinner. And two thoughts. First, a closed heart. You say, where do you read that in the text? Well, we read that her heart was, whose heart the Lord opened. So this implies that her heart was closed. And by nature, our hearts are closed. Is your heart still closed? What does that mean? Has it ever become a guilt to you before the Almighty God? So first, a closed heart. Second, an opened heart. Because we read, whose heart the Lord opened. And my prayer is that today, that the Lord would open closed hearts. I have no hope in the preaching. Nothing in self. Nothing in you. But maybe together look to the Almighty God who worked in the heart of Lydia, that he would work in the hearts of boys and of girls, and to open their hearts as Lydia had, and that you become guilty because your heart, it's your guilt that your heart is closed. And so may the Lord work mightily by word and spirit for the glory of his name, salvation of sinners, and the edification of his dear people. So a closed heart. Paul had the custom whenever he would go, he would first go to a synagogue. He would go and preach in a synagogue. But now in Philippi, there is no synagogue. Paul maybe have been very disappointed. Where is he going to go and preach? But then he hears that there's a group of women gathered by the river to pray on the Sabbath day. They went there to worship. We note that to have a synagogue, you needed to have 10 men. You could have many women, but to start a synagogue, the historical fact is you needed 10 men. But there wasn't 10 men. And so we see these women gathered together on the Sabbath day. They were gathered together, and Paul comes and joins himself with these women to preach the gospel unto them. As we read in verse 10, he's an obedient ambassador. Because the Lord sends out his servants and they must preach the gospel. So Paul meets one of these women. One of these women in the crowd name is, what's her name, children? Her name is Lydia. What do we know about Lydia? Who is Lydia? A few things. We read she was a seller of purple. Today we would say she sold very expensive, rich clothing. So she possibly was also rich. She was known as one who came with these women, one who worshipped. She was worshipping. We do not read that she was specifically a Jew, so we can assume that she was also a Gentile. But what else do we know about her? What else do we know about this woman? Gathered there, gathered for prayer, read about worshipping. What else do we know about her? Well, her heart was closed. You say, how do we know that? How do we know that for an absolute truth? Because we read, whose heart the Lord opened. So we know that before the Lord opened her heart was closed. And while Paul was preaching the gospel, the wonders of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord opened her heart. Lydia's heart was closed for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's you and me by nature. We're by nature. No, we're not born with our hearts a little open, waiting, willing for a Savior to come. No, our hearts are absolutely barred, locked, shut. We can hear the gospel. We can hear the gospel so many times. But our hearts, by nature, are closed. We can even listen to a sermon. And at the end, we can repeat many things. And we can even go home and say, that was a nice sermon. It was so clear, simple, easy to follow. But is our heart still absolutely closed? By nature, it is only closed. It's like those gates of the city of Jericho. The Israelites came. And the gates were locked. Solid walls around. None are going to enter into the city. That's a picture of your and my heart, no matter who we are, in church or in the world, faithful attender or whoever we are, our hearts are closed, locked, bolted, shut. But is your heart still closed? Is it still closed? By nature, our hearts are filled with enmity. They're closed for God. They're closed for the gospel. They're closed for the law. They're closed for the will of God. They're closed for the Savior. We can hear about him. Paul made this so clear as we read in Romans 8, verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. What did he describe of those who are born again in Ephesians? We read in Ephesians, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Or, literally translated in Greek, it means because of the hardness of their hearts. So, hearts closed. By nature, our hearts are closed. We're enemies of God. Think about this truth, lost sinner. Your heart is closed. Closed for the gospel, closed for Christ, closed for God, closed for everything except for your own will and self. So why is your heart closed? Did God create you with a closed heart for Him, for His Son, for His will, for His law? No, He created you and you were made with an open heart. There is sweet communion with the Lord. There is no bars, no restrictions. He made you perfect. He made you good. So whose fault is it that our hearts are closed even under the preaching of the precious gospel? Yours. Yours. Ours. Well, how did our hearts become closed? How did it come to such a wicked enmity state? Because of our sin against God. By rebellion in paradise, we closed our hearts for God. No, we didn't only close them, we locked them. We locked them absolutely shut, and we will not have Him rule over us. The greatest, wickedest act of man is in the fall, by rebellion, we locked the doors to God. And what else did we do? We opened our hearts for Satan. Now think about that. The Almighty God made you and me for one purpose. With open hearts, to live, to glorify Him, to enjoy Him, to glorify Him every day. That's what He made us for. And we closed our hearts to that fountain of good, and we opened our hearts for Satan. What pain must be in the heart of the Almighty God. I have made you so good, and you're so absolutely wicked. We closed our hearts. No communion with God. No sweet communion. No peace. No joy. No hope, no hope of life. We absolutely lost everything. We made ourselves absolutely miserable wretches with closed hearts. Congregation, all of us, without grace, our hearts are only closed for the Lord, for the gospel, and for the Savior Jesus Christ. There might be much religion. There might be. And yet, hearts closed. There might be some worship, types of worshiping. And yet, by nature, our hearts are closed for God. We're enemies, lost, wicked. I think of Paul. Paul is a Pharisee of the Pharisee. If you would have asked him, Paul, are you worshiping God? I think Paul would have said, yes, I'm worshiping God. But he was an enemy of Jesus Christ. But let's go to Lydia now. Lydia. It appears from human understanding, you see her with that group, you see her praying, you see her worshiping, listening, maybe singing the Psalms, as they may have done together at the riverside. It appears that her heart is opened. It seems to be open to us because she gathers with the people to worship, as we read. She was attracted to this group. She was attracted to this religion as a Gentile. There is a sense of a need, of a desire. She acknowledged something about the truth. Something of the truth. So she wanted to be with them. But true worship for God is with spirit and in truth. It's not enough to have some worship, a type of worship. A worship of God, that's not enough. It's not enough to have an outward with the mouth, with the tongue, with some understanding. It needs to be with the heart. She worshiped God. What does this mean? What does this really mean that she worshiped God? May I ask you a question? Do you think she was converted? Do you think she was born again? No, she wasn't. Because a closed heart for God, for the Savior, then we're lost. So outwardly we can look so good and we can feel good. That's the problem. We can feel good. We can feel good because we go to church so faithfully. Good, do it. We can feel so good that we have a type of worship. But without our hearts being open for God, for the Savior, and for the gospel, for the law, for everything of Him, we're lost. No matter how good we feel, no matter how faithful we can go to church, considering ourselves a worshiper, is that you? Are you kind of comfortable knowing the truth? And if someone asked you, where are you going on Sunday, you would tell them, I'm going to church to worship. I'm going to worship. Ask Lydia, she gathered to worship. She gathered to worship. She was in a way devout, serious, religious. She knew something of the truths of the Bible. She did. Today we would say she would go to church twice. And maybe she went to every midweek that she could possibly go to. Comfortable, religious, a worshiper, and yet lost. Is that you? My desire this morning is you that are comfortable as a formal Christian. Because there's all different arrows that we need to shoot in the hearts of different sinners. Not only absolutely worldly sinners, but also sinners that confess the truth and feel smug under the preaching and say yes to all the truth. But their hearts are still closed. Lydia's heart is closed for the gospel. She's lost. Why? Because we read in 1 John 5 verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life. No, not just a worshiper. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So man without grace is lost. He lives maybe very religiously, going to church, confession, public of faith, and yet lost. Lost. It's true for people in church, lost. Hearts closed, and it's true for people that you maybe pass by and just doing whatever they want on the Lord's Day. And maybe, I don't know, maybe you felt a little better. At least I'm going to church. But may an arrow be shot in your heart this morning that by nature, if you have not been renewed by the power of the Holy Spirit, and if your heart has not been opened, then it's still closed and you're lost, you're guilty, you're wretched. Our hearts are closed by nature. Well, maybe you say then, what's the difference if I live in church or if I live in the world? The Lord needs to come and open my heart, so I'll just live how I want. Or maybe I'll go to church, but that's all. I won't seek. I'll just wait for the Lord to do something. No, we may never use this as an excuse, because the Lord commands us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And He calls to each one of us, my son, give me your heart. And He has the right, because He made us with a heart, an open heart to Him. But it must become our guilt. That's where it must come. That I'm guilty, that I'm lost, I've closed my heart. The Lord has poured all these blessings upon me, and yet it's still closed. Is that you? Is that you? I hope you become guilty before an almighty God. Lydia lived as a worshiper, but her heart was closed for the gospel. Congregation, how many times have you heard the law? Again this morning, you heard it read by the elder. And do you just sit there? Yep, the Ten Commandments. But have you become guilty? Has your heart been opened for the law and become guilty? How many times have you heard the gospel? I believe in Cortland here, since the first Sunday that you gathered here, you heard the gospel. You're not ignorant of the gospel. You could probably even maybe explain something of the truth of the gospel. Salvation only in a triune God, through the Father, by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the application of the power of the Holy Spirit. But the personal question for you and for me this morning, is your heart still closed, or is it opened? Is it opened for the gospel? Is it open for that Savior of sinners? Or is your heart still barred shut? Whose fault is it? It's our unbelief. It's our guilt. Listen, I'll quote something again from the Canons of Dort. The cause of our guilt of unbelief, as well as other sins, is in no wise in God, but in man himself. And now something amazing. God sees sinners, boys, girls, that He created with open hearts, close them. You know what he does? Open your Bible, please, to Revelation 3, verse 20. We read something amazing. The Lord doesn't say enough. The Lord doesn't cast us away into eternal wrath as we justly deserve. But he does something. Every time you hear the preaching of the word of God, Revelation 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. So the Lord is even at your closed door, bolted shut. He's knocking on the heart of your door. Every time you hear the word of God, every call, every sickness, every time you need to be in the hospital, every time you can't get out of bed because you're so sick, every accident, every call, everything in this life, the Lord is knocking on the door of your heart. Every time you open his word and read it, the Lord is knocking. Every time you come to church, the Lord is knocking on your hearts. Knocking. What a wonder. What a long-suffering patience to such rebellious sinners who only lock the doors of their heart that he's still willing even to knock. What a merciful, gracious God. But when will he stop knocking? Someday he will say, enough. Absolutely enough. Away with you. And yet today, he says, what does he say? Well, I could quote so many texts, but one, Jeremiah 3, verse 13, only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. So he knocks, and he says, only acknowledge thine iniquity. What does this mean? This means that the Lord has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But he's calling to repent. He's calling to confess. Confess to me your heart. No, don't try to come before me different than you really are. Just pour it out and confess. My heart is so wicked. My heart is barred shut. Is that you? Only acknowledge thy iniquity. May it bring you in your guilt this morning. And so we come to the end of our first thought. Let's have a little summary. God's sovereign grace in the heart of a sinner. Hearts closed. Why are they closed? It's our guilt. Is your heart still closed? Confess it today. Confess it today that it's your guilt. That you still bar your heart shut against God. And God has the right to such sinners to eternally cast them away into eternal wrath. And yet he still knocks. And so we see Lydia among that group at that river worshiping and in prayer. And her heart is closed. And the Lord brought the gospel also unto them. How? Wait a minute. Okay. Yeah, let's sing a psalter, okay? Let's sing a psalter. Let's sing Psalter 141. Let's sing Psalter 141, and we'll stay seating. 141, 1, 2, and 3. Gracious God, my heart renew. Make my spirit right and true. Cast me not away from thee. Let thy spirit dwell in me. Psalter 141, first three stanzas. Thank you. God's sovereign grace in the heart of a sinner, a closed heart. But now we will go to our second thought, an opened heart. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The Lord will open hearts. He will do it. How will a heart that's so barred shut against God, as we then see that city in the holy war, Mansoul, it's all barred shut. Ears are shut, eyes are shut, mind shut, heart shut, all shut up to the precious truths of the riches of the gospel in Jesus Christ. How will such a heart ever be opened? Does the Lord wait for a sinner? For a sinner someday to open his own heart, and then he will come? He knocks at the door, and all he does is wait for that sinner to open his heart? Well, then we're lost. We're absolutely eternal lost in the guilt of our closed hearts. But the wonders of the gospel, that such wretched, wicked sinners who closed their hearts for God and opened them for Satan, he comes, he knocks, but he does more. He opens the hearts. That's the hope. That's the hope, children, that you may cry to him, Lord, my heart has been closed. I have done it. But open my heart. Open this closed heart. Open my eyes to see who I am, to see who thou art. Open my understanding to not only hear, but to hear that it comes inward. Give me a heart that loves thee, that thirsts for thee, not only for sin and for wickedness. Give me a heart that's broken. Make me poor in spirit. Make me hungry. Make me thirsty. The Lord, in the preaching, Paul was preaching. He was preaching. He was obeying as a servant, as a sinner, in the instrument of God. And as he was preaching, the Lord came. The Lord brought the outward call inward. He worked powerfully in the heart of that woman, and he opened her heart. Quietly, powerfully, mysteriously, radically. No eye could see it. But in that woman, in Lydia, her heart was opened. Her heart was not opened by Paul. No, put no hope ever in a sinner on the pulpit. The Spirit will be so displeased and he will just withdraw. It wasn't Paul. It's not going to be a father. It's not going to be an elder. It's not going to be a deacon. It's not going to be a teacher. It's not going to be your mother. It's not going to be your father. It's not going to be any man but God. That Almighty God in his mercy and grace can open absolutely closed hearts. So all glory and hope and expectation in that Almighty God. Oh, he said it so clearly in Zechariah 4, verse 6. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit. Oh, that blessed work of the Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. How is a closed, barred heart opened? By the work, the irresistible work of the Holy Spirit. That's why every time we come, not only do we need to pray for help to preach, not only do you need to pray, help that sinner on the pulpit, but also especially beg for the work, the irresistible work of the Holy Spirit, that closed hearts would be broken and opened. Oh, there's so many things we could say. You need to preach this more. You need to preach more law. You need to preach more gospel. It needs to be experiential. It needs to be more practical. It needs to lead more to the forgiveness of sins. It needs to lead more to the sanctification. And that's all true, because who can ever preach perfectly? Impossible. We need to preach the whole counsel of God. Absolutely. We need to preach according to the meaning of the Spirit. But above it all, if there's any hope, if any hearts in Cortland will ever be renewed, if any hearts will ever be opened, it will only be by the Almighty God and that power of the Holy Spirit. So become beggars for yourself, for your children, unto him, and cry to him, Lord, pour floods upon the dry ground. Open hearts. We don't only need some impressions. We don't only need some tears. We don't only need some emotions or a burst of joy. No, we need regeneration. We need our hearts open for that precious Savior, my friend, or we're lost. absolutely lost, no matter what you have or what you experience. If you have not the Savior, there's no life and you're lost. There's no hope in man. There's no hope in you. There's no hope in me. No hope. But our hope is in the Almighty God. John Calvin said, the speaking and preaching of the servant of God does no good unless God adds his inward calling to the message. So God, that Almighty God, has the power to open closed hearts. But what is an opened heart? What happened to Lydia? What was an open heart? Well, let's meditate upon this for a few moments. Let's read the text again. Verse 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. So we read that the Lord opened her heart. We read the word opened. What does it mean? In this verb, it means that it's an action done to someone. No, Lydia didn't open her own heart. No, the Lord opened her heart. In the verb, it means that it was done unto her. It was done unto her by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Lord opened her heart. Sinner, you need the Almighty God to open your heart. And so that should lead you to cry to him, confessing, but begging him. And children of God, lambs and sheep, who opened your heart? Think about that this morning. May you be broken. May it lead you to truly worship him, that he found you, he sought you, he worked in you, and he opened your heart. He took away the weapons of resistance. He did it, because otherwise you would continue in resistance. And so many times again, that resistance comes. But he opens the heart. He does it. So it should lead us, all the children of God this morning, to worship him in adoration. Why me? Why me when that heart was so absolutely closed for everything? And others hear the same word, and their hearts remain closed. I'm no better, Lord. Why me? Why me above millions of sinners who die and go to hell? But yet thou hast, in thy sovereign good pleasure, looked upon me in mercy and opened my heart. The Lord did it. But in that word opened, it doesn't mean just a little. Sometimes you open a door a little, right, children? You peek, see who's there. It doesn't mean open a little. It means completely opened. Absolutely opened. He opened the heart. He opened it completely. What does that mean? It touched the whole being of Lydia. Her mind, her affections, her will, her desires. The Lord came in and conquered her heart, and it all was completely renewed, made alive. What else does it mean, opened? It means it becomes closed. Closed for other things. What other things? Closed for any more hope in self. Any more hope in any other. It's opened only for one. And what a lesson, what a teaching the Holy Spirit needs to do. In Lydia, we could say it all happened in a short time, and the Lord is free. Some he teaches slowly, some he teaches rapidly, like Lydia or the thief on the cross. The Lord is free, and yet the truth is the same. The truth and the work of the Holy Spirit. Doors locked, absolutely locked, and yet opened, opened. Who can open that heart? The Almighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if something's locked, right, children, and you don't have a key, then you take a hammer, you take a pry bar, and you force that door open. Is that what the Lord does? He comes, and he just forcefully hammers, busts that heart. No, he comes. He comes with the gospel. He comes with mercy. He comes with grace, and he melts that heart. That hard heart becomes broken. That hard heart becomes melted. They become willing. They become willing in the day of his power. No, Paul wasn't a preacher of save yourself. Paul was a preacher of salvation in another. That's the hope. That's the gospel. The Lord came and opened the heart. So she attended, we read. Attended. That means she listened. like she never, ever listened before. She listened before, but now she listened. Her ears were open. Her understanding was enlightened. Her heart was opened. She listened, and oh, she could have listened and listened and listened as Paul preached the wonders and the riches of the precious Savior. She heard things maybe she heard before, but now she truly heard them. It came with power into her heart. Her hearing was mixed with faith, as we read in Hebrews. The Lord did it, and she attended. She, what would we say? She drank the milk, the sweetness of the gospel. She just drank it all in. It was like water on her soul. Maybe Lydia for the first time heard. Yes, she did hear for the first time that there's a Savior for absolutely unworthy sinners. Paul could proclaim to her, it's not by works. It's not by the law. No, it's by faith in another. Who is that another? Oh, that precious Savior who came to do everything for a people who have nothing but sin. Who came to live holy for a wretched people. Who came to pay for a people lost who had nothing to pay. Is that you? Her heart was open for it. She heard it. It came with power and she could believe it. And her heart went out unto that Savior. Went out unto him. Lydia experienced something she had never, ever experienced with those women ever before. As Paul preached, what did he preach? Read Romans. That's all of it. No, he didn't just say, the Lord Jesus loves you, Lydia. No, he didn't say that. He preached all the truths of the gospel. The truths. The truths that they are wretched. Of the justice of God. Of the worthy to be sent away. But also of that only way of salvation, by faith in another, imputed by faith, those riches of a precious Savior that those sinners don't have and absolutely need to be reconciled with God. Oh, her heart was open and she could attend. She was eating and drinking the precious gospel. Have you ever had that? Have you ever had that sitting in church and you could just listen and you don't want to hear amen? You just want to hear. You could just attend. And your heart went out. Everything else was forgotten. And you heard that precious Savior. And you just want to listen and listen and listen. And you just wanted to eat it up. It came with power into your heart and into your soul. It gave you something you never had before. And you were seeking for and you couldn't find. As a lost, wretched, guilty, undone sinner. Tasting something of hope. Hope in the Lord. Hope in his mercy. Hope in who he is for wretched ones. And there was peace. Peace came in the heart. When they hear it with the power of the Holy Spirit. Peace that passeth all understanding. Peace that you can never explain. You can only experience it. And joy. Real, true joy for those wretched, sorrowful sinners. Joy that they can't find in self. But joy they receive in believing. 1 Peter 1 verse 8. Whom ye have not seen, ye love, and whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. What a blessed day for Lydia. And that's my prayer, that today, closed hearts, through the foolishness of preaching, they're broken, opened, conquered, made alive, and they're opened to hear all the truths of the Word of God. Who we are before him. Law become guilty. And by the gospel have that healing of the preciousness of those riches. Unsearchable riches of that precious Savior for wretches. Oh, may the Lord work mightily, powerfully, by the power of the Holy Spirit. How do we know if our heart is opened? How do we know? While we can repeat many doctrines, we can listen and read certain books, biographies, and we can just repeat those experiences of God's children. No, it's out of the heart and truth. They're opened. They want to serve him. The Lord says, seek my face. And you know what they answer, those open hearts? Thy face, Lord, I will seek. It becomes a hunger. It becomes a thirst for him, for the living God, and for the precious Savior. They can't live without him anymore. Who are those ones that have their hearts opened? They aren't only hearers, but they become doers. Unrepentant sinners become repentant sinners. Unbelieving sinners become believing sinners. It's by the grace of God. All by him.
My friend, is your heart still closed? You're lost. I must tell you, you're lost. But has your heart been opened? Listen again. God mercifully sends the messengers of the most joyful tidings to whom he will and at what time he pleases, by whose ministry men are called to repentance and faith in Christ crucified. It's all of his mercy. So, Church of God, there's only one place to end this morning. If your heart has been opened, if you may know, with the witness of the Spirit, my heart was so closed. It was all bolted up, locked, an enemy. But the Lord conquered. The Lord opened it. And then to hear, not only of condemnation, but to hear something of the sweetness of the gospel, of the hope, of the mercy, of the love of God through that precious Savior. And your heart went out him. Where should you end? All glory to him. It's because of him who said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There's hope in the Almighty God, and it's all praise to the glory of his most worthy and holy name, and because of his free and sovereign grace for wretches. It's by him he opens closed hearts. Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, oh, we have heard it from thy word who we have made ourselves to be closed hearts. Oh, apply it by the power of the Holy Spirit that we would be guilty before thee all, no matter how we may feel ourselves to be, that we may just become absolutely guilty and lost. But oh, we beg thee also to open those hearts. May it have been this morning. May it have been through the riches of the precious preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ and who he is, that sinners' hearts were opened and that there was an application by the power of the Holy Spirit, that there was drinking of the sweetness of the milk of the gospel. Lord, do it for thy name's sake. We pray that thou would remember us in this day. Give us a desire to keep thy day holy. We thank thee, Lord, for thy precious word, for thy help in this morning, for without thee we can do nothing. Remember us all for time and for eternity, and bring us again here tonight, we pray and beg, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Let us sing now in closing from Psalter 400, stanzas 1 and 7. Hallelujah, praise Jehovah, O my soul, Jehovah, praise. I will sing the glorious praises of my God through all my days. Think of Lydia, and I'm certain she could sing this, and may it be true this morning. Psalter 400, 1 and 7.
one short announcement from the deacons. There's a meeting on Monday, June 29th at 7:30. Visitors are welcome after 8:30. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.